We thank you for hearing our prayer. Now hear us as we pray the prayer your Son taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We will continue our service by singing, Now Unto the King Eternal.
Now unto the King. if you would take a brief moment and fill out the friendship card in the pew in front of you. And if you could please also, if you want to hear from the pastor, leave a phone number so he can contact you. And while you do that, Catherine will play a brief song on the organ.
Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Good morning. Welcome to our service this morning. I pray the blessings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, be multiplied unto you now and forever. Amen. This morning we are going to look at the beginning of Jesus' life as a teacher and a healer. The sermon text for this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. I'd ask, as you are able, please stand for the reading of the Gospel. We read as follows in the name of our Lord. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Let us alone, what have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him, and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. Amen. Please be seated. Now the first thing I saw here was, and they went into Capernaum. So I had to ask myself, well, who were they? And, you know, it's pretty obvious. It was Jesus and his disciples. The disciples hadn't started to do anything on their own yet. They were still learning about all the things that Jesus was doing and all that he was capable of. So this is a really new experience for them. So this is a time when the man that they had dropped their whole lives for is just beginning to reveal who he is. As far as we know, this man that they had decided to follow hadn't been doing anything very miraculous or astonishing that they could have seen. And here they are following him into a synagogue. And I'm sure they were very nervous about this. As we can tell from different parts of the scripture, these disciples were very well read, and they knew a lot about all the Jewish laws and the religions that were followed. So I'm sure they had a pretty good idea of how Jesus was going to be accepted when he walked into a synagogue. Pretty sure they knew it was going to be a little bit of a struggle going on. But they're following him as they are supposed to do as disciples. And they're going into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And right away, Jesus starts to teach. And he taught with authority. Now the best way I can show you the significance of the fact that he taught with authority is to give you an example. Now when you hear someone giving you a sermon and they're hemming and hawing their way through the whole thing, they don't seem real confident, it tends to make you think that maybe they aren't real sure about themselves. They might not believe the whole thing.
But when you hear somebody that gives a sermon with confidence and a very strong voice, you start to think that this guy knows what's going on and that he believes it wholeheartedly. Now that is why it is so significant to the people in the synagogue. This man taught with authority. He wasn't like the scribes who had no authority. Jesus was teaching with the authority that he had through his Father. And now, this was a little bit weird for me, because it gets into the Greek a little bit, and I know most of you don't have as much of an understanding of it as I do, and I have a very poor understanding of it. So the word doctrine in Greek can be construed two different ways. It can either be construed as doctrine or teaching. And the way that it really should be looked at in this point is teaching, because they're not talking at all about what he teaches. All they say is about how he is teaching. And for the most part, when we hear the word doctrine, we start to think of rules and bylaws and things like that. But it makes a lot more sense when you see it as they were astonished at his teaching. Since they weren't talking about the message that he delivered, they were talking about how he delivered the message. But it was more than likely that he was teaching doctrine, because we all know that as Christians, we are to follow the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And now we come to the demon-possessed man. And the first thing the demon-possessed man says is, "What do you have to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" The demon knows exactly who he is. There are no questions asked. The demon in the man knows right away that he is the Holy One of God. We aren't told that this man was possessed by many demons, like we were when Jesus sends the multiple demons out of the man and into the pigs. So it becomes kind of interesting that the man asks, "What do you have to do with us?" It seems that he is speaking for all the people in the synagogue, and not just himself. But why would he do that? The only logical reason for that is that the demon in this man was worried that all the people there may actually listen to Jesus. And we need to take into account the fact that the rest of the people there didn't know that this man was possessed, since in those days, if you had any demons or anything wrong with you, even if you were poor, or you weren't even allowed into a synagogue. And we see that this demon definitely knows that Jesus is sent from God. But at the same time, he doesn't know how much power Jesus has. And he thinks that he is going to be able to get into an argument with Jesus so that he in some way may discredit him. When he asked, "What do you have to do with us, and have you come to destroy us?" These are questions that we would ask if we were trying to make someone look bad in front of somebody else. Now to me this reads that this man is trying to make it look like Jesus has come in there because he is going to destroy everyone in there. So the demon is going to try to turn everyone against him. But Jesus puts a stop to this quite quickly and effectively. He rebukes the demon, tells him to be quiet and to come out of him. And immediately the demon convulses the man and comes out of him. Now that's got to be a freaky sight. This man that they have never seen before comes into their temple and starts teaching them. When he is chastised by someone in the crowd, this man just tells him to be quiet and to come out of him. Now I'm thinking, honestly, if I would have been there, I'd have been thinking that guy's kind of nuts. For a second or two, anyway. Right up until that guy started convulsing and screaming. Then we'd be a little bit conflicted about who the one that's nuts is. Now what do we learn here? We learn about the power that our Lord has over everything, even the devil's minions. Some of you may know where I'm going to go with this. Some of you may not. But please bear with me. It might take a little while. And we have all been taught that we are to be servants of God, and that through Christ and the death that He went through for us, we are given the means to be servants of God. Jesus Christ died for all of our sins and iniquities so that we may be able to be seen as righteous in the eyes of God. In that same death, through the Holy Spirit, we were given the means that we may be able to be the ones that go out and do the work of Jesus. In the text this morning, we see that Jesus has power over the devil. And even though we see this very clearly, we still are scared to go out and talk to those that we think may be of the devil, as we think that they might be able to win us over. But it's pretty clear that Jesus has power over the devil. And when we are walking in Christ, it's all good. So doesn't that mean that we shouldn't be scared of what may be thrown at us as we are out in the mission field? Well, for those of you that don't know, as soon as you step out the doors, you're in the mission field. We are all missionaries. Doesn't matter if we go overseas or if we stay in our hometown forever. We are all missionaries. And we are all called into His service, and we can all be reassured by what this gospel message has shown to us. We have been shown that the Son of God is all-powerful. And since we are all sons and daughters of God, we know that we are also given that power to do the work we are called to do. Now back to the text. All the people in the temple are completely amazed by what they have just seen. They begin to talk amongst themselves about him and what he did, talking about the manner in which he taught, and about how he even has power over the evil demons. Now, this is probably a pretty normal response. But what is really amazing about this whole thing is that these people didn't decide that this was something that they should keep to themselves. They went out and talked about everything that they saw with everybody that they met. They talked about it with everyone. So much so that the fame of Jesus spread all over Galilee. Now I've got a question, and this is a question for me also. How many people do we talk to about the glorious things that our Lord has done for us? Now, it'd take a while to get all your answers, so I'll give you mine. Very, very few. I tend to get quite angry with myself when I start to think about this. I could tell stories for hours about what God has led me through and what He has done through me. I'm going to read the first scripture reading that we had this morning. I'm going to read it through again. This really hit me when I was preparing this sermon. Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. In the company of the upright, in the congregation, great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of splendor and majesty is His work, and His righteousness endures forever. He has caused His wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear Him. He remembers His covenant forever. He has shown His people the power of His works in giving them the inheritance of the nations. The works of His hands are faithful and just. All His precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to His people. He has commanded His covenant forever. Holy and awesome is His name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praises endures forever. That sums it up pretty well in my eyes. God has given us the most gracious gift that has ever been given. And He wants us to share it with others. He wants us to know that we have nothing to fear as long as we are walking in Christ. So let's do it. Let that be our purpose, to praise with all honor and glory to our Father and His Son, our Lord. Let us be His willing servants, so that everyone on the earth may come to know Him. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word this morning.
Father, we ask that you would continue to guide each and every one of us as we go out to be your servants. Father, we ask that you would give us all the confidence that you gave to your Son, so we may be effective in our service to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now humble your hearts and receive the Lord's benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Blessed and glorious Sunday.
How are you doing? Where are your hosts here today? Yeah, they shut off my roof twice.